How does your world hold together? Duct tape, maybe? It's very useful. Sometimes we need things to be put back together. Here we are in life after Easter. Last Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the triumph of God. We come with loud praise. We have a little bit louder, perhaps, of a service than usual with all of us singing together. And then Monday comes, right? Monday always comes. And despite the fact that we celebrate triumph on Easter, real life, you know, I guess I can speak for myself, is not a series of one triumph after another. You know, I'm sure you all come to your own Mondays. And sometimes life doesn't seem to hold together really all that well. Things happen. Or life is like this. Oh, no. Oh, you can't do that. You can't mix Skittles and peanut M&Ms. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't fit together. Oh. 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 Okay, yeah, we want things to line up straight, right? Yeah, we sure do. Life is getting neat. Life is getting clean. Oh. Well, we're gonna... Oh. Oh, that's terrible. Oh. No, no, don't do that. Don't. Please don't. No. Please stop. Wait. So it goes sometimes in the real world, right? Well, that video is twice as long. It just keeps getting worse. So yes, all you OCD people, I hope you just did not watch that because now you're getting twitchy, right? But our real lives just don't line up right sometimes. Things don't go together. Things don't hold together the way we want them to. I mean, it can be something as simple as say, oh, well, you know, come on. Today the dishwasher breaks? I mean, today? No, not today. Maybe tomorrow. Not today, right? Or today's the day my car gets sideswiped? No, can't handle it today. No, not today. Life doesn't hold together. Or for a number of families in this congregation for whom we just prayed, they're going through aging, death, loss on Easter weekend. Life doesn't always match up. Doesn't always hold together. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense. I can say certainly that from my own perspective, last Easter weekend was a bit strange. Because I've got a little grief right now in my own life. And here I am celebrating, trying to be triumphant in Christ. And I'm thinking, but I don't feel much triumph right now. Something is wrong. Something grieves me. So what to do with this? Well, we come to this passage, Colossians 1. It's a passage of hope, a passage of how Christ is King. He's the first in all creation. He's the first in redemption. Well, I need that hope. I need to hear that all creation, heaven and earth, everything somehow holds together in Christ. That's what I need. But I still know that this world sometimes isn't quite there yet. Things don't always hold together. So I did what I usually do when I need some things to change or I just need to reflect on life. I go to my favorite state park. It's Matheson State Park. It's about an hour and a half east of here. If you've never been there, it's like the little brother of Starved Rock. So everybody knows about Starved Rock that's along I-80. Matheson State Park is just a couple miles up the road from Starved Rock. It's right there. I prefer it. It's a real nice state park. So I like to go out in nature, and I like to see that all things hold together in Christ. That's why I go. That's where I heal. That's where I think. That's where I reflect. That's where I see these words from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You can turn with me to follow along in English. And in the Bibles, you're going to want to turn to page 1832. Page 1832. I'll be reading this little section that starts with the supremacy of Christ. So there on the lower left of page 1832. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Here's what's written about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Well, once you were enemies, you were alienated from God in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firmed, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you've heard, that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. All things hold together in Christ, the risen Lord. He's supreme in creation. He's supreme in redemption. And that means we have a job, a way of living, a way of faith. That means that faith is done. And it all comes down to hope, but it's hope we need. So first, Jesus is supreme in creation. Verse 15 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And if you remember way back at the beginning of the Bible, we're told that human beings are made in God's image, that we are the image of God. And what that means in Genesis is that we are called to exercise God's rule with care, with carefulness, to mind creatures, to mind the planet, in a way that honors God, because really he's the king. And here's Colossians 1 saying that Jesus is the true king. He's the real ruler. He's like us. He was a human being, but he's God. He's a risen Lord, and he rules over all things. So from galaxies to things as small as the Higgs boson, from hills to humans, from mountains to moles, creatures great and small. And if you know the creature up in the upper right, you know that great and small are not opposites. That's a tardigrade, a very microscopic creature that somehow can be put in suspended animation. It can survive radiation. It can live in space if you just put it out in space. It's an amazing creature. It's great. It's very small. Jesus is king over that creature too. He's the image of the invisible God, and all things were created by him, and all things are created for him. Jesus is in charge. What was going on with the Colossian Christians at this point? Why they needed that message of hope to hear that Jesus is in charge of all things, was that the Colossian Christians, these Christians, early Christians who lived in a place called Colossa, they had gotten confused. They got confused about how the world was really run, because some false teachers had come to them, and the false teachers had taught these Christians that, well, yeah, you know, Jesus is important, but in addition, you need angels or you need other spiritual forces or other spiritual beings. And so the Colossian Christians couldn't figure out, well, wait a minute, are we supposed to worship God, or are we supposed to follow this angel or this spiritual force? They got really confused. And so Paul has to write to them and say, look, it's not that complicated. If you know Jesus, he is the one in whom all things hold together. He's the one you need. You don't need to get confused about all these other spiritual forces and are you doing the right things with this one? Do you need to know about other beings? No. Slow down. It's just Jesus. He's the king. Your life holds together. It starts with Jesus. It continues with Jesus. So we get to verse 17. In him all things hold together. And this is a really good article of faith to keep in mind. Because when we live our lives and we know that things don't really seem to hold together very well, we can say to ourselves, okay, I don't understand this. I don't know why this is happening. And yet, I believe that all things hold together in Jesus somehow. It's like that Jesus is kind of this key to understanding everything that's out there around you. It made me think of these little word puzzles that are very hard to understand unless you've got the key. Like this one. What? It's a little word puzzle. Hat, peeve, Allen, time, stay. What? What does that even say? Hat, anybody think it through here? Say it fast. Hat, peeve, Allen. There it is. Linda's got it. Happy Valentine's Day? Hat, peeve, Allen, time, stay. There it is. Oh. Sometimes you need the key. And now that you know what the answer is, now things start to make a little bit more sense, right? So it is, same way, with understanding that Jesus is the king. That he is the supreme one over all creation. So that when things aren't holding together in him, you say, wait a minute. I know the answer to this. Even if it's really confusing, I know the answer. And if you keep following Christ, if you keep living for him, and if you keep believing, yes, somehow this is going to hold together in Jesus, it does work out. It can be confusing in the meantime, but it will hold together. All things hold together in Jesus Christ. So we take that as an article of faith. But it's not just that Jesus is supreme in all creation. He's also supreme in redemption. Verse 18 says that he's the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So here we just celebrated Easter. And this resurrection that says that, yes, Jesus is really in charge. And the thing about Jesus' resurrection that's so important to remember is that he's the firstborn because his resurrection was different than all the other resurrections that had taken place to that point. There had been a few, actually, right? Because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, except to a mortal life. And there were other characters that Jesus raised from the dead. And when Jesus died, some of the tombs opened and many holy people came out. They were raised from the dead, but to mortal lives. Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead because he's raised to an immortal life. He cannot now die again. It's something truly different in the world. It's something that now the whole world is revolving around, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where things begin to hold together again. That's where life begins to make sense again. And this is, of course, a great personal comfort. Comfort in the face of death, in the face of loss, that Jesus really did rise from the dead. I mean, if we can imagine a life of Jesus without that, what would it be like? Think about Easter Saturday before the resurrection for the disciples. What would that be like if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead? Well, if not that, then Jesus' life, teaching, his miracles, it ends at the cross. That's it. How does the world hold together if God comes down as Jesus and gets killed and that's it? Well, that's not going to make much sense. You can imagine the grief, perhaps the fear that the disciples felt. Great, so we've dedicated our lives to this guy, and now what? Well, that's not holding together very well. Their faith is crumbling. And here they actually believed that Jesus was God. And now are they supposed to believe that he's not? That would be confusing. Jesus' life only makes sense. His whole life, his whole project, all his work, everything he ever says only makes sense if there is a real physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apart from that, you and I are living the biggest lie ever perpetrated on the face of the earth. There has to be a resurrection. Otherwise, Christians can't hold together. There's nothing. And there is a resurrection, praise be to God. Because at the time when all seemed lost, God acted and made things hold together. You see, Jesus is the key, and the risen Jesus is the key. But wait, says Paul. Yes, he's supreme in creation. Yes, he's supreme in redemption by the resurrection, but there's more. Verse 20, through him to reconcile to himself all things, things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This resurrection isn't just something for an immortal life or eternal life for you and me. It's something that affects all things, all creation. So this redemption gets a little bit more than personal. It's something for all creation, for the whole world, for creatures great and small. So I've got this passage in my head. I'm thinking about it, trying to write a sermon about it a few weeks ago. And I'm carrying a grief in my own heart. I'm trying to make sense of how things are going to hold together, and I can't. And I don't know. And I keep telling myself, all things hold together in Christ. How's that going to work out? I don't know. But I know that it will. So I take comfort from this passage. And I'm walking around at Matheson State Park, thinking about comforts, grasping at straws, trying to understand what God is doing or isn't doing in my own life or in my family's life. I'm waiting, looking for answers. I'm walking among the trees and thinking about how all things hold together in Jesus Christ. I'm enjoying the buds coming out, the flowers. And then I come around a turn in the path, and there's a bunch of this. And I say, hey, here I am trying to get my life to hold together out in nature, and I see that nature isn't holding together very well either because of people. Well, that was a big downer on my little nature restoration trip. It was. I was trying to tell myself that in Jesus all things hold together. Well, all creation needs his redemption. I do too. So now we take a turn in the sermon. We have to take a turn because the same way that I need my life to hold together in Christ, the world that I love needs to hold together in Christ. It's very big. We just celebrated Earth Day yesterday, right? Maybe some of us did. We saw it on Google, a little Google doodle on the homepage about Earth Day, to try to honor the planet. You know, if it's true that all things hold together in Christ, is it true that our planet's doing all that well, holding together? I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there in the world. Even if I love nature, I can go out there and try to restore myself, but I see things that say, oh, that's not holding together very well. There's viruses, right? These little broken parts of machinery that just multiply and cause all kinds of problems and disease. Oh, and there's more than that. There's mosquitoes is the one that gets me, right? They're not actually necessary for the food chain. They're just out there. They carry disease. They make me itch. Well, creation isn't holding together maybe all that well. And then there's this problem, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, if you've heard of that. Some of it sort of looks like this big mass of plastic. Most of it doesn't. Most of it just has microscopic particles. But the lowest estimates of how big this thing is the size of Texas. So you see, my little bottles at Matheson State Park were just the beginning, just a few of the things that befoul God's world. Well, and of course, then it gets into the food chain. The turtles eat it, the birds eat it, they die. And I think, all things hold together in Christ. This is how it's happening? This is my Father's world. So I got to start being brought down a little bit walking at Matheson, not what I went there for. And then, since we're talking about it, I need to say something about this. You need to hear about it because this is a theological issue, okay? More than a socio-political issue. Okay, so just open yours a second. You know what I'm going to say, half of you. But I just want to prime the pump a little bit. Think theologically. Think theologically about this issue of human-caused climate change, okay? Now, I know some of you are thinking, not so convinced about this. Okay, just let it wash over you then. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to tell you that I'm concerned about this as a Christian. I'm concerned about it as someone who believes that all things hold together in Jesus Christ and that this world is his and that the redemption of this world and the setting of it the way it should be belongs to him. So I'm concerned about human-caused climate change. A few points. I would encourage you, as you think about this issue, and please do think about it. Please do think about it. Because if it's true, this is a big one. This is the biggest one you're probably ever going to face in your life. I think it may be for my generation. I'm convinced. I'm convinced because I don't get my facts from the political talking heads. I would encourage you to listen to the scientists. They're the experts in their field. Political talking heads come with assumptions about how to interpret what science tells them already in hand, which means they're looking at it through a certain lens. They're not coming in clean. Scientists, they have enough trouble getting funding as it is, but this is their life's work. And in fact, there are a lot of Christian scientists out there. In fact, some in my own family who have worked on related issues to climate change. And they're convinced. They're convinced. Second point, this issue is not as simple as carbon is bad. So anything that says, oh, well, you can dismiss it because carbon isn't really bad, that's simplistic and naive. Okay? The issue is the rate of increase of concentration of carbon dioxide. It's the rate of increase. Okay? What that means basically is that what scientists are concerned about, and when I say scientists, that does mean 97% of people who actually study this stuff and know this. This is their life's work. They say this is a real problem. They say it's like riding a bike down a hill to a T-stop. If you're going down a hill toward a T-stop, you know you're going to have to turn one way or the other. You can change direction. If the hill isn't too steep, you're going to be okay. You're going to make that turn. Okay? There are things out there in nature that, you know, that adapt. Ecosystems do change all the time, and they can adapt at certain rates of change. What the scientists are concerned about is that the rate of change is too fast, that the hill is too steep. And if the hill is too steep, you know what's going to happen? You crash when you get to the bottom of the hill. And some of the evidence that we see out there in the real world is indicating crash level rates. That's the issue. Carbon is not bad. The question is the rate of increase. But listen, even if you're not ready to hear all that on a Sunday morning from a preacher, I want you to think theologically. This world belongs to God, and so the way that we treat it and what we put in it and how we take care of it and how we study it and how we think about those studies has to be, for Christians, a reflection of our faith. Has to be, for Christians, a reflection of, do we really believe that all things hold together in Christ? Or are we going to treat it wantonly? We're going to do a lot of litter, not care about where our plastics add up, not worry too much about the future of the climate, because we're just not sure. Well, you might not be sure. The science is sure. They're pretty sure. What to do? So I wasn't finding too much comfort there at Matheson that day. How is Christ supreme when my life and when the world doesn't seem to be holding together that well? Where is this reconciliation of all things? Well, I can look to the writer of this passage. He'd been through a lot. Verse 23, continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. And this is the gospel you've heard. It's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul holds out the hope of Christ and then says, remember, I do this hope. I'm not just telling you about this hope. I live this hope. All creatures need to hear the gospel. All creation needs to hear the gospel. Well, what does that look like? It doesn't look like something I keep in my head. It doesn't even look like a comfort I keep for myself when my life doesn't hold together. It looks like a way of life that proclaims to everything, this world will hold together in Jesus. And because of that, there are some things I can do. So I walk around Matheson, processing my own personal grief and picking up bottles. Well, you know, some of it's going to go to the landfill, so maybe that's not the best, but I actually drove some of it back home and put it in the recycling. Because I believe that this world belongs to God. And that no matter how confused my own life might be, or how I don't know how things are holding together in my own life, still, this is how I do my faith. This is how I cling to Christ, the risen Lord, in whom things, they hold together. That's an article of faith. I might not know how. That doesn't matter. I'm a servant, like Paul, of the gospel, and so are you. If you are a Christian, you are a servant of the gospel. There are things you can do to make the world, his world, hold together a little bit better. A little bit better. Well, you can drive a little bit less if you can. Go out and walk. Take a bike. Not because it's simply good for your health, even though it is, but because all things hold together in Christ. You can be interested in energy efficiency at your house or at your business, not because it's going to save you money, but because all things hold together in Christ. You are Christians. You are his servants. Care for this world. You can care about also how your food is produced. In the production, are the animals being treated with the respect they deserve as God's creatures? In the United States here, we have to be very careful as Christians to fight throwaway culture, where you buy cheap goods and just replace them. Just replace them. Find things that last. Consume less. You know, if everybody on the planet, all 7 billion people on the planet, consumed at the rate that people in the United States consume energy and resources, you would need 7 planets to keep up. This is not sustainable. This is a crash coming if we stay on this track. But we are Christians. We say, this is going to hold together in Christ. What can we do? How can we serve his world? Use less and be a witness. Live with restraint. Care for the creation. Show that Christ is supreme. And his world does hold together. It will. It will. This is an article of faith. It's an article of comfort for his whole world, our Father's world, but also, yes, for our lives. So I stand before you today, just being real. The grief in my heart is not resolved. It's not. But I believe and I live that all things hold together in Christ anyway. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know all the details of how this is going to work out. But nevertheless, I'm his servant. I'm a servant of the King, and I will work for the redemption of all things in his name, one way or another. Because to him is the glory. Jesus is supreme, always and ever. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, you give us hope that when things don't hold together or don't seem to hold together, still you are there. That though our families are plagued by griefs or by doctor visits that are very unpleasant with their news or results, that our families struggle or are split, that our job is difficult, that the world doesn't seem the way it ought to be, still, you are promising to us, in Christ, it will be made the way it's supposed to be, in us, in our families, and in the whole world. So we look forward with hope. We carry in our hearts this message that Jesus Christ is supreme in all things, heaven and earth, creatures visible and invisible, now and always. Amen.